Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome. It is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011. You are tuned in to the Alex Jones Show. Thank you so very much for joining us today on this day before Thanksgiving. I'm going to be wishing you a happy Thanksgiving throughout the show. My name is Mike Adams. I'm the fill-in host for Alex today, who is on the road returning to Austin after filming a number of videos and filing many reports from the road, as you've heard and seen here on the Alex Jones Show and InfoWars Nightly News. Now, today we have just an incredible lineup of news, including coverage of the debate last night, where Ron Paul, well, they gave him more than 89 seconds, for starters. Can you imagine that? And he just blew away the competition with some rational, common sense answers to keep us out of wars, to return some fiscal sanity to America, and basically do what's right for the future of our nation. So we're going to be playing some clips for you from that debate, and also bringing you some commentary on that, and covering some of the crazy answers by Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney and all the other globalists there, who are now essentially saying that, hey, the Bill of Rights shouldn't apply to you if we declare some kind of a war, even if it hasn't been legally declared by the Congress. Imagine that. Also today, coming up, we have Paul Craig Roberts will be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about tyranny and a concept that we're calling trickle-down tyranny and what else is going on with the TSA and the world of security. That was also the topic of the debates last night, the CNN presidential debates, or I'm sorry, Republican nominee debates. We also have coming up today Dr. Stuart Lonnke, who's going to be talking to us about the dangers of environmental toxins that you may not know about. In fact, he's the author of a book called Invisible Killers, and he's here to talk to us about the toxic metals that are found in the environment and in the foods and in industrial processes that we are now taking into our bodies. And I am convinced that much of the insanity that we are seeing in the world today, especially in America, is due to heavy metals poisoning and chemical poisoning. I think it's a topic that we haven't covered enough, and it could explain why so many voters and so many people, so many members of the mass public out there, they seem to be literally insane. I mean, insane, completely irrational, saying things like, oh, let's see, we're $15 trillion in debt. Let's get out of that debt by spending another $5 trillion. Woo, that's brilliance right there. I think it's heavy metals poisoning, or at least that could be part of it. It's got to also be the fluoride. It's got to be related to the vaccines and the pesticides and all the chemicals that are out there in the food supply and in the environment. So we're going to be talking to Dr. Stuart Lonnke to get some answers about that. And if you see me looking at all the notes here, for those of you watching on prisonplanet.tv, it's just because we have so much to cover today. We've got news that will blow your mind. We've got news about BPA levels spiking 1,200% in the blood of people after they eat canned soup. Yeah, because the lining of the cans contains BPA. That's the hormone-mimicking chemical bisphenol A. It does wonderful things for your body, like giving men breasts, infertility issues related to that, cancer issues related to that. It's crazy. We've also got, let's see here, the turkey fryer terror coming up. The Department of Homeland Security has issued a warning, an alert, red alert. If you fry your turkey, you could set your house on fire. Yes, Janet Napolitano wants to be in your kitchen. That's kind of scary all by itself. Janet, stop eating the turkey. All right, all that and more is coming up here as we return. We've got all kinds of news coming up. We're coming back with more details about the Ron Paul appearance in the debates last night. You are listening to the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more breaking news and analysis.
From From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, welcome, folks. This is the Alex Jones Show on Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011. I'm the fill-in host today, Mike Adams, the health ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com. And today we're going to be covering just a number of mind-blowing topics, truly fascinating stuff. This is one of the most info-packed shows I've ever hosted here. Starting off with Ron Paul in the debate last night, where he squared off against Newt Gingrich and other globalists who were all spouting some very scary information about why you shouldn't have your Bill of Rights if they think we're in a war. And we're going to run a little bit of video from that in a minute. But first, let me set this up and explain. They started off with a question from Edwin Meese. Yeah, the former U.S. Attorney General, who begins by really spouting what are a series of lies. He says, oh, there have been 42 terrorist attacks prevented by the Patriot Act. And he says the Patriot Act is a tool that's fundamental to stopping terrorists. And then he asks, shouldn't we have a, quote, long-range extension of the Patriot Act so that these law enforcement officers can continue to use this wonderful, wonderful tool to prevent terrorism? And, of course, predictably, all the other globalists on the stage other than Ron Paul, they agree with Edwin Meese. Now, in his question, though, he didn't tell you the truth. Of these, quote, 42 terrorist attacks that have been prevented by the Patriot Act, probably 41 out of 42 were attacks that were set up by the FBI, right? The FBI goes out there on the record. This is now publicly on the record. The FBI goes out there, creates the plots, recruits the so-called terrorists who are actually normally just innocent people who don't really know what they're involved in. The FBI provides the money. They provide the weapons. They provide the planning, the motivation, the target lists. And then after they hand this over to these would-be terrorists, magically another branch of the FBI shows up and guess what? Oh, they catch them. They catch them. This is like playing cowboys and Indians in your own backyard sandbox, isn't it? Kind of like, okay, you play like the Indians or the terrorists and we'll play like the cowboys and we'll act like we catch you. And then we'll report to the media what a great job we're doing stopping terrorism, and we'll use that as a justification to continue the completely illegal Patriot Act, which is a violation at so many levels of basic, fundamental, not just human rights, but of course the Bill of Rights. So this was the question that Edwin Meese led off with. It was a loaded question, like using loaded dice in a poker game. And then, of course, Wolf Blitzer added right only that. He said, quote, gee, only this weekend there was an alleged terror plot uncovered in New York City. Oh, my God. Yeah, probably another one set up by the FBI. They can do it more than once, you see. This makes them think they're important. So then Gingrich replies, well, you have to have two sets of laws, really. The Bill of Rights only applies to, quote, criminal investigations, you know, people who rob others or people who commit acts of violence or common crimes. But he says, you should have a totally different set of rules when there's a war, when there's national security at risk. You shouldn't have the Bill of Rights at all. I'm paraphrasing him, obviously. He says, basically, the terror threat will be ongoing, probably through multiple generations. Yeah, because it's working out really well for the globalists to have this scary terror threat out there, even if they have to invent it. And by the way, Paul Craig Roberts is coming up at the bottom of this hour to give us more commentary on that. He wrote a great article a few weeks ago about the complete fabrication of the entire war on terror. That was published at Infowars.com if you want to check that out. But Newt Gingrich goes on to say that you shouldn't have a Bill of Rights if there's a war going on. But you see, who decides if there's a war? It certainly wasn't Congress. They never declared a war. They never debated a declaration of a war. And Ron Paul points this out. But Newt Gingrich and the other globalists apparently think that they can just pronounce a war. Oh, there's a war or a warlike ambiance in the global sphere. And from that, we're going to just subjectively decide that you shouldn't have a Fourth Amendment right anymore, or a First Amendment, as the Occupy Wall Street protesters are finding out, or a Second Amendment, or a due process, a Fifth Amendment, or even Tenth Amendment rights for the states. I mean, it just goes on, and it is the most obscene example of just runaway freedom-grabbing, terror-minded thinking. The philosophy of these people, of these globalists who were on the stage last night on the CNN debate, I tell you, their philosophy, every one of them, except for Ron Paul, their philosophy is identical to the philosophical foundations of Nazi war criminals, all right, who justify their actions by saying, we're at war, so therefore we can do anything. This is what Newt Gingrich seems to be proposing. It's incredible. Let's run some of that video footage of Ron Paul to hear what his answer was to these globalists and their war-mongering, terror-mongering, fear-mongering efforts to scare everybody into giving up their rights. Go ahead with that if you've got it.
I'm Ron Paul, a congressman from Texas. I am pleased to be here at the debate because this is a very important debate. But I am convinced that needless and unnecessary wars are a great detriment. They undermine our prosperity and our liberties. They add to our deficits and they consume our welfare. We should take a careful look at our foreign policy.
Right to the questions.
All right, let's move ahead. This is Wolf Blitzer asking the loaded or handling the loaded question from Edwin Meese. Go ahead about a minute and a half on that or so. In the meantime, let me read you a quote that Ron Paul had that he stated in this debate. He says, quote, I have a personal belief that you never have to give up liberty for security. That's his, and there was applause after he said that. What an amazing concept, huh? You never have to give up your liberty for security. He says, quote, you can still provide security without sacrificing our Bill of Rights. Let's see what else he's got to say. Go ahead.
Bill of Rights.
Yeah, he just said that right there.
I want to bring others in, but do you want to respond, Mr. Speaker?
Yeah. Timothy McVeigh succeeded.
There's Newt Gingrich.
That's the whole point.
If you look at Newt's face during this debate, he's just it's so arrogant how Timothy McVeigh succeeded. Yeah, who set up the Oklahoma City bombing, really? I mean, who was involved in 9/11, really? I mean, come on. Who's setting up all the fake terror plots across America today? It's the FBI. It's the insiders. We know that's going on. Who brought down World Trade Center Building 7? Come on. Demolition style, brought it down. It's to the point where if you watch that debate, they got a room full of people, hundreds of people, and we'll play more from Ron Paul if you get that queued up there. You've got hundreds of people in there. You've got all these people on stage. You've got Wolf Blitzer asking the questions. The only sane person in the room is Ron Paul. Everybody else there is clinically insane, in my opinion. They are living in an imaginary world where terror threats exist on every street corner. Terrorists are in your kitchen. Terrorists are in your shower. Terrorists are in your luggage. They're hiding in your luggage. And they're hiding down your pants. That's why the TSA has to reach down your pants to check for terrorism. You know, and Ron Paul replies and says, there wasn't a war declared on anybody, and terrorism is a concept, not a person, not a people. Go ahead and roll some more from Ron Paul there. Let's see if we get a good segment here.
That's digging a hole for ourselves. What if they look like Timothy McVeigh? You know, he was pretty tough criminal.
He's talking about profiling here.
Too much carelessness in the use of words that we're at war. I remember voting on a declaration of war. Oh, war against terrorism. And terrorism is a tactic. It isn't a person. It isn't a people. So this is a barely careless use of words. What about this? Sacrifice liberties because they're terrorists? You're the judge and the jury? No, they're suspects. And they have changed in the DOD budget, they have changed the wording on the definition of Al-Qaeda and Taliban. It's anybody associated with organizations, which means almost anybody can be loosely associated. So that makes all Americans vulnerable. And now we know that American citizens are vulnerable to assassination. So I would be very cautious about protecting the rule of law. It will be a sacrifice that you'll be sorry for.
Herman Cain, let's bring you into this conversation.
Those words should go down in history as the red alert warning from Ron Paul to all free-minded citizens who want to protect the future of their nation here in the United States. He says again, so I would be very cautious about protecting the rule of law. He says it will be a sacrifice. What he means is if you give up the rule of law, if you give up law in order to have a little extra security, he says that is a sacrifice you will be sorry for. And he is absolutely right. This is the most crucial issue of our time. And Ron Paul is issuing a red alert warning in this. He says, we now know that Americans are vulnerable to assassination because the White House can come up with an assassination list and just take out an American citizen without any due process whatsoever. Do you realize the magnitude of this, people? I'm hoping that you're really tuning in and really listening to this because, look, before 1776, before America had its independence, we had the British occupying forces over here in North America, and they were speaking the same kind of words that the globalists like Newt Gingrich are speaking today. They said, we're in a state of war, therefore you have no rights, we will interrogate you, you have no right to maintain your silence, you have no right to privacy, we will conduct illegal searches and seizures, we will force you to quarter and house the soldiers and feed them and pay them money. We will force you to do all these things because we are the British Empire and because we are in a state of war. Apparently, Newt Gingrich now thinks that that same kind of thinking should be the rules that are followed here in America today. Don't you realize, people, the Bill of Rights was created to prevent that. Even the Third Amendment was about preventing us from having to be forced to quarter British soldiers in our homes, okay? The Fourth Amendment, the First, the Second, on down the list, the reason they are there is because we do not want to be ruled by tyrants who declare a state of war. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We've got a lot more coming right back. Stay with us, all right? Thanksgiving, everybody, and welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. He's on the road, returning to Austin shortly, and will resume his regular duties here on the show. In the meantime, we're filling in. We've been talking about Ron Paul during the debates, and thank you again for staying tuned to the Alex Jones Show. We've got Paul Craig Roberts coming up in just, what is that, about 9 minutes, something like that. And we're going to be talking about the tyranny that is taking over America today and the concept of trickle-down tyranny, which is what happens when all the local little bureaucrats and power people, they witness what's happening at the federal level, and they think, oh, it must be socially acceptable now to just act like a thug and act like a tyrant. And they replicate that, they mimic that, they shape that behavior and become their own little local tyrants. All right, but getting back to Ron Paul and the debate, I'm trying to say Happy Thanksgiving, but also at the same time warn you, this may be your last free Thanksgiving. In other words, your last Thanksgiving as a free citizen. If we don't get Ron Paul and that kind of philosophy into positions of power in this country, if we end up being ruled by globalists, you're going to be next Thanksgiving, you're going to be looking back at this Thanksgiving and asking yourself, what the heck happened? What happened to our Bill of Rights? What happened to our freedoms? What happened to our bank accounts? What happened to our futures? Because Ron Paul is right. He is the only guy there that makes any sense. And I got to say, I am honored today to be here hosting the Alex Jones Show and to be part of the InfoWars effort to enlighten people, to awaken people, because we want to prevent tyranny and prevent the enslavement of the people. We want freedom and we want peace, all right? Ron Paul wants to bring those soldiers home and close those bases where we are meddling with the foreign affairs of these other nations, bring those soldiers home and have peace and have our family together. Wouldn't that be nice to have a Thanksgiving and a Christmas with your family where you don't have TSA searching your underwear at the airport, where you don't have TSA checkpoints on the road as you're traveling from place to place in what's supposed to be a free country. Let me read you a couple more quotes from Ron Paul. In responding to a question about where Newt Gingrich says that we got to have more police and we got to have more security. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying we got to have the Patriot Act, even, you know, give it even more power. Ron Paul says in response to that, this is like saying we need a policeman in every house, a camera in every house, because we want to prevent wife beating. If you advocate the police state, yes, you can have security and you might prevent a crime, but the crime will then be against the American people and against our freedoms. And he's absolutely right about that. You can keep clamping down. You can put police on every corner. You can have checkpoints on every interstate and every highway. You can hire government thugs to feel you up and feel you down and put you down in every airport and every football stadium and every church and every school in the country. But you won't stop terrorism and you won't have any freedom left. That's the truth of the matter. And if you don't get that out there, folks, if you don't get this point, then I'm sorry, you are going down with the end of freedom in America today. You need to wake up. And Ron Paul says that. He's got a quote. He says, this is a road to disaster when he's talking about military spending. He says, we'd better wake up. If we don't wake up, this is all history. The Bill of Rights is about to become history. Your Fourth Amendment rights are eroding at an astonishing rate. It is very, very concerning. And I stand here, well, I sit here in Alex Jones' chair today, but I stand here firmly on this principle that we must restore the rights that made this country great, that we must get the government out of our lives, out of our pants, off of our highways, out of our homes, stop with the secret surveillance. We've got more news about surveillance going up here. Did you know that stores now, retailers on Black Friday, coming up in just 2 days, they are going to be tracking you by monitoring your cell phone signals as you move from store to store? Yeah, I'm not making this up, folks. Search this online if you don't believe me. They're going to be tracking you moving from point to point, and they think it's all okay. Why? Because, again, trickle-down tyranny. If the federal government is monitoring everything that you're doing and reading your emails and monitoring your Facebook posts and checking you on the highway, why shouldn't the local retailers do it too? Why shouldn't everybody do it? Let's all just become a police state of tattletales and Janet Napolitano spy masters who spy on each other and run around paranoid. Oh my goodness. The retailers are tracking us. It must be good. Maybe they're going to give us a coupon for 50 cents off an iPad, which will also track you as you carry it around your home. Yeah, it's all coming up. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back after this break with Paul Craig Roberts and much more. Don't go away.
We're on.
And we are back on the Alex Jones Show. Thank you and happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was an inside job. All those FBI terror plots that are now being used to justify discussions about expanding the Patriot Act even more. You know, lock it in long term. Hey, who needs a Bill of Rights, huh? It only worked for a couple hundred years. Let's ditch it now, I guess, is what these people are thinking. Unbelievable. We do have Paul Craig Roberts coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but quick, before then, we're going to cover a little bit of news. Bring that graphic back up. BPA spikes 1,200% after eating canned soup. For those of you watching on prisonplanet.tv, you can see the visuals here. A new study shows that people who ate canned soup for 5 days straight saw their urinary levels of the chemical bisphenol A, that's the hormone-mimicking chemical that has a lot of people concerned about cancer. Ooh, a little bit of breast augmentation for males there. Not something that a lot of people want to do, understandably. That spikes 1,200%, BPA 1,200% higher in the blood of those who are eating canned soup for 5 days straight. This is the first study to quantify BPA levels in humans after the ingestion of canned foods. Now, here's an interesting fact you may not know about this. There is no such thing as a canned food that has a liner in it, which is free of BPA. To my knowledge, I checked. We called all the major can manufacturers throughout the industry to ask, is there a liner, an enamel inside cans that is free of BPA? And the answer we were told is no, no such thing at the moment, but they're working feverishly on it. But then the other question is, what other chemicals are going to be in there besides the BPA? See, maybe it's BPA-free in the future, but it's got some other chemical that we don't even know about yet. Just make up three random letters, C, K, J. That's going to be the next chemical that they find in these cans. It all gets back to the basics, folks. If you eat food out of your own garden, if you practice some home gardening and a little bit of permaculture and you eat that food, you're always going to be better off than eating something out of a can. We've got From the American Dream, 20 signs that America is going crazy. Is this posted up on InfoWars, guys? I bet it is. 20 more signs. Yeah, it's up there. Got a confirmation on that. Check it out. Well, you know it's going crazy when you see presidential candidates up on stage who are debating, and all of them except one say that we don't need a Bill of Rights as long as some president says we might be in a war. Doesn't make any sense. U.S. and Arab states set to impose a no-fly zone over Syria. This is Paul Joseph Watson article now posted on Infowars.com. It always starts with a no-fly zone, doesn't it? Yep, and then it becomes a no-life zone as they start with the depleted uranium bombing, another weapon of mass destruction that is being used by the military to make life unlivable in some of these target zones for not just a couple of years, but a couple of tens, hundreds of thousands of years in some cases. Here's another article in Russia Today. The West's fixation on Assad eclipses bloody chaos in Egypt. This is all just more beating the war drums, getting ready for action in Iran and Syria and somewhere else. Hey, we saw, what was this? Janet Napolitano and then the Department of Homeland Security put out a warning about Turkey. And I don't mean the country, Turkey. I thought it was going to be a terror alert about maybe Turkey, but you know, Turkey's not in the news that much, and not like Iran and Syria these days, but no, it was about the dangers of frying a turkey in your own home. Oh my goodness. So we're going to have a little segment on that near the top of this hour. I brought some gear for it. I have fire gear here. Yeah, because they showed a video of a turkey catching on fire and burning down someone's porch deck. And full flames everywhere from roasting, not roasting, but deep frying a turkey. So I'm going to don a fireman's hat and some Nomex gloves, and we're going to tackle the subject of cooking a turkey terror style. That's right. That's all coming up here. And we do have Paul Craig Roberts joining us now, and he's here to talk about trickle-down tyranny and some of the other topics. Paul Craig Roberts is one of the most prolific and, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant political writers, if not the most, of all time. I'm a great admirer of Paul Craig Roberts, and we published many of his stories, in fact, on Natural News. Paul, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, Mike, and I want to congratulate you for trickle-down tyranny.
Well, thank you, Paul. That really means a lot to me coming from you. I've admired your writing and your analysis for many, many years. What is in your mind of what's going on today, especially following the debates that just happened last night?
Well, you know, there's only one candidate for president. That's Ron Paul. The rest of them are a bunch of idiots. They're all trying to outdo one another in starting World War III. I've never seen such a collection of dopes in my life. I mean, and one of them, if not Obama, is going to be president.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, actually. I completely agree with your assessment there. It's like they can't read. It's like they think that the Bill of Rights must say at the very top, this does not apply if someone mentions the word war. Yeah. You know, there's no exception to the Bill of Rights. What do you say?
No, of course there's no exceptions. You know, it could just be that they're all bought and paid for by the military security complex. You know, Eisenhower was, what, a half a century ago, wasn't it, that President Eisenhower warned us in his farewell address at the end of his second term that American liberty was in danger from the military security complex. And so I believe that is could be what we're seeing today. The takeover is so total that unless you're a complete shill for the military security complex, you can't even run for office. I mean, look at Obama, for example. You remember how excited everyone was about his election? You remember
Sure. The
massive numbers of people that went and sat in the cold for his inauguration, and many of them were miles away.
Oh, he was like the second coming of Christ to some people.
You know, it was an amazing. The country has never seen an outpouring of support for a president of that magnitude ever. And what did he do? He pissed it away.
Well,
he started another war right away. He validated all of the Bush administration violations of the Constitution.
Let me ask you, Paul. Sorry to interrupt there, but you wrote an article that a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that was a brilliant article laying out the case for what you say is the utter fabrication of the war on terror. And I read your article point by point, and I agree with it point by point. And yet, as we saw in the debates last night, the operating illusions, the illusionary platform from which all the other candidates are operating, and even Wolf Blitzer is asking questions, and then the people in the crowd are asking questions like Edwin Meese, their illusionary platform is that the war on terror is very, very real and very scary and very much in your face, and we have an immediate threat to our life and safety because of all these terrorists. But you were able to completely show that to be a total fraud.
Yes, we're living in George Orwell's 1984 world, where Big Brother's media tells the people every day about all the wars that they're having to combat. And it's all hokum. It's all a hoax. And it's amazing that no more than, say, what, a fourth of the population sees through it? It's an extraordinary thing.
That is astonishing, and it really makes me wonder about some of the reasons behind that. Later on in this show, in fact, we're going to be talking about heavy metals poisoning and how that might be impacting cognitive function and clear thinking. What do you think, in your analysis, might be behind it? Are people just easily hoodwinked? Are they brainwashed? Are they apathetic? What do you think is psychologically behind this mass denial of reality?
I think a lot of things. One is there's no media, you know, except for individual programs like Alex Jones. There's no reporting because the media was concentrated in the last years of the Clinton administration. And it's no longer run by journalists. It's no longer independent. It's no longer diverse. And so it serves as a propaganda ministry. You know, Gerald Celente calls them prostitutes.
Yeah.
Which is an apt term. So there's no source of information for people unless they work at it full time. You know, if they're on the internet, they read foreign press, they read sites that dig up the real news. You have to, in other words, it's a huge time and energy effort to get any idea of what's really going on. Most people can't do that. The other thing, I think, which has been controlling, was they bought on to 9/11.
Yeah.
The minute you buy onto 9/11, you've accepted the premise for the police state, the warmonger state, the threats everywhere. And, of course, this serves the interests of the military security complex, and they keep it alive. We see this with the FBI organizing fake terror plots so they can arrest some poor dupe and scare the people further. So it's all a successful propaganda venture.
But isn't it also, it's almost comedic. It is very clownish. It's like kindergartners playing with their imaginary friends and enemies. This is what the FBI is doing, and the ATF running guns into Mexico. And the American people don't see it. How can they be so blind to it? I don't get it.
And that's a good question. How can they be so blind? But they're losing their country, their liberty, the reputation of the country. And I think we're headed toward World War III, because when you can so delude an entire population, supposedly a superpower, supposedly the richest country on the world, the best educated. You know, the United States allegedly has 17 of the top universities in the world. And yet we have a population that can't perceive fraud, right? It's practiced on them daily.
Well,
it's an amazing thing. I don't know the answer, but you can see what the consequences are dire. We now have a police state. And the police state, as you point out in your brilliant article, it's trickling down. Now everyone acts like they're running a torture chamber, even nursing homes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just to give people some background about that article, which I called Trickle Down Tyranny, that was about some waterboarding of an elderly woman. An 89-year-old woman in a nursing home was waterboarded by the staff in the nursing home over an argument about an ice cream sandwich, I believe it was. Ice cream, yeah.
So, yeah, an ice cream, that's right. It's an extraordinary thing. And we see the police, gratuitous violence, piled on violence over and over and over, spraying people in the face who are just sitting quietly with pepper spray, beating them with clubs. It's an amazing show of brutality and violence. Why aren't these police all arrested and on trial? The police don't have the right to abuse the public. Police have to follow the law like everyone else. When they violate the law, they should be arrested and held accountable. But they're not. And it's like you say, if you don't hold the president accountable when he violates the law, then you can't hold anybody else accountable. And everyone's finding that out.
Well, that's the thing. No one should be above the law. The laws must apply equally to all people across the land, including the president, including the Congress, including law enforcement, especially law enforcement. But the greatest shift that I see here that you've written about extensively, Paul, is that the government, quote, servants now see themselves as rulers. They see right. themselves as tyrants, and so they act out on that self-image, and then the tyranny just begins to multiply. Whoa, what do you got going on back there? You okay?
I've got two cats, and the little one thinks she's a leopard, and if the big one gets out of line, she lets him have it.
I think you're having a little trickle-down feline tyranny back there in your own house. maybe Janet DiPolitano should put a camera in your living room just to make sure you're safe.
They probably have one.
No, but what do you think about this, the acting out of the self-image role of being a thuggish tyrant ruler? And that's how many of these so-called servants now see themselves.
Yes, it's well, as you and I both see, they're aristocrats. You remember the classic sort of protest of the unaccountability of the aristocrats is the story of the dukes or the earls' carriage being driven at great speed through the village, and it runs down the children of the peasants in the streets and goes on off. And nobody can do anything about it. Well, that's the kind of country we live in now. As long as the people doing the damage are in the security complex or high government leaders, they're untouchable. And it trickles down. I wrote a book, I think, maybe 12 years ago that Oxford University Press published called The Capitalist Revolution in Latin America. And I quoted one of the ministers in one of the South American governments, and he said, if the minister lies and steals, by the time it trickles down to the bottom, his subordinates are raping and murdering.
Yeah, right. Right. It sort of escalates on the way down.
It goes down. You know, the notion of a nursing home waterboarding an 89-year-old woman, before today, who would have believed such a thing?
No, exactly. This is part of the what I've tried to point out in that article is that it has infected the fabric of American culture. And you see this with shows like 24 with Kiefer Sutherland, who's a great actor, but I just don't agree with the message of the show, which was torturing everybody, even little children, I believe, to get answers out because it was all justified under fighting terrorists and stopping some other violence. It's the culture now.
It's the culture. And of course, it's all contrary to everything that experts know about torture. It never gets good information.
That's right.
The person being tortured simply tries to find out what the people torturing him want to know, and then he tells them.
Yeah, so, what do you want to hear? What's it going to take to make the torture
anything
stop?
Anything to stop the torture. And particularly, you see, in Guantanamo, we now know for a fact that almost everyone there was totally innocent. They were people sold by warlords to the idiot Americans who paid a bounty for them. And so they ended up having to release almost all of the people after torturing them for 5 or 6 or 7 years. So they were all totally innocent, and yet they all were tortured all those years, and no information came out. None.
Well, it's incredible, Paul. We've only got a minute left here, but where can you stay with us after this break for a few more minutes?
If you like.
Okay. I'd really like to ask you a couple more questions, but quickly, as we go to break, where do you think this is heading? Has Ron Paul made his point and awakened enough people, or are we still muddling through la-la land of illusions and terrorism fantasies by the globalists?
Yes, I don't think Ron Paul can awaken more than about 20% of the population. The rest of them, are lost. And to answer the earlier question, to complete it, psychologically, many Americans think of themselves as, you know, the great people.
Right. Paul, stay with us. We got to go to break right now, but we'll be right back with more from Paul Craig Roberts here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay right there.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
Welcome back, folks, to the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, here getting ready to fry a turkey. And we've got Paul Craig Roberts joining us by Skype. I am dressed in full fire gear. I've got Nomex gloves. I've got a fireman's helmet here. Yeah, you hear that? I've got fireproof goggles on, melt-proof goggles, and I've got a respirator on the floor. We're going to cook a turkey, man, and we're going to do it Janet Napolitano style. Yeah, because they put out a warning yesterday, an official tweet from the Department of Homeland Security that says, watch out, Americans, your turkey might burn down your house if you cook it wrong. I am so happy that we're now getting recipe instructions from Janet Napolitano, how to make ogre pie, things like that. I can't wait to see what the Christmas recipes are going to be from Janet Napolitano. But, Paul, if you'll stay with us for a second, I want to ask your reaction on this. But for those watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, let's go to the video and show the firemen cooking a turkey and showing you how dangerous it is and how it might burn down your house. Go to that.
Tested several models of deep-fat turkey fryers and find that this method of cooking can be very hazardous.
Looks like our partially frozen turkey is ready.
Here they go.
Temperatures at 350 degrees.
All right, they're showing a big turkey cooking deep fryer sitting on a wooden deck. Now they got a fireman there with a full helmet, full respirator, Nomex hood. He's walking up with his fireman boots and he's got a turkey in his hands. Oh my God, he's taking the lid off the turkey cooking device. He's going to drop the turkey down into it. Oh my God, there's fire everywhere. Flames everywhere. It's burning up the turkey. It's burning up the deck.
Units can be overfilled, and when that happens,
I've never seen such kitchen terror in my life.
Unit to catch on fire.
It's catching on fire.
One of our safety concerns with.
All right, now they're giving you the safety rundown.
Watch how easy.
Oh man! Are they going to tip it over? Oh, the oil just came out.
In our laboratory, we use water. Can you imagine?
It's a dangerous cooking device. All right, enough of that. Enough of that video. It's getting hot in here. I got to take all this gear off. Look, I don't mean to make light of kitchen cooking accidents, because you can have fires in the kitchen, and you should have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen. Cook with Nomex gloves like these, huh? Little Nomex gloves, terror grip gloves. But isn't this getting ridiculous, where the Department of Homeland Security is now telling us what to cook or how to cook things? I mean, it's crazy. All right, Paul Craig Roberts, thanks for bearing with me on that. I'm taking off all the fire gear now. What do you think about all that video stuff?
Well, it didn't come through, but I could hear it. And I suspect that very soon the Department of Homeland Security will declare turkey cookers to be terrorist devices. And if you have one, you'll be arrested. It'll be proof that you are planning a terrorist act.
Oh, well, it's hard to say. They're going to come up with all kinds of new things to scare us with. It just seems like the overriding theme of everything they put out there is be afraid, spy on your neighbor, be paranoid. Isn't this the opposite of what they should be teaching people, really?
Especially when there's no threat. You know, what terrorist threat have we suffered other than 9/11? And there's a great deal of of dissent that this was actually done by the Saudi Arabians from abroad. All the others are staged by the FBI. There are no other terrorist examples here. And yet we have this huge department that I think consumes $80 billion a year, and which is now stopping traffic on the nation's highways.
Right. Thanksgiving Day traffic.
And they're you know, it's so bureaucracies always grow as rapidly and extend their jurisdiction as far as they can. So that's part
all right. Paul Craig Roberts, I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been a great segment with you. This is Mike Adams, starting brush fires in the minds of men and having the gear to put them out later on. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We survived it, folks, the possible firestorm caused by cooking a turkey. I want to thank Paul Craig Roberts, who just joined us in the last segment. I apologize for cutting him off there. Sometimes when you're going to break, you got to do that. But Paul Craig Roberts, one of personally the people that I admire the most as a writer and a thinker and an analyst. Every time I read his articles, I learn something new and quite profound. So be sure to check out his information. Is there a website, guys, for Paul Craig Roberts that we should give out? Let me know. Moving on, turkey frying terror. I thought, you know, in this segment here, we'd have just a bit of a comedic relief. What about seven other foods that Janet Napolitano thinks might be tools of terrorism, huh? Hey, if deep frying a turkey is so dangerous that they have to issue an official tweet about it, maybe there are some other weapons of mass convection. That's your oven convection that we should be concerned about. Now, I have six. And I'm challenging the crew back there to come up with the seventh. You got it? You got to come up with the seventh. Here we go. Seven other foods that could be tools of terrorism. Number one, of course, would be human breast milk. They already think that's terrorism. That's why they have infiltrators. Yeah, that's a good word, infiltrators. And spies who are going out and trying to arrest people who are buying and selling and transporting raw milk. And why is it dangerous? Oh, because it's not pasteurized. It's alive. Of course, we've got these suggestions, by the way, were from the Natural News Facebook fan page. So I want to thank those fans for their little contributions. They gave me the idea of baked beans because they produce flammable gases, which are illegal to carry on an airplane, by the way. So that could be a weapon of terrorism very soon. Microwavable popcorn because it explodes and it sounds like gunfire. You microwave popcorn, you could get a visit from DHS. How about that Velveeta cheese? Because you can't identify it. It has no biometrics. Nobody knows what it's really made of. Kind of a mystery. We're not even sure if it has a genetic code, so we don't know if it's GMO or not. Big mystery. Deviled eggs. Yep, because, of course, the devil's in them. Deviled eggs. Green peas. That could be another food of tremendous terror. Why? Why, you ask? Well, obviously, because the Department of Homeland Security doesn't want anything resembling world peace. Bad humor on this Thanksgiving holiday. Thank you, guys. All right, what's your suggestion, guys? You got a food?
Vitamin C.
How could that be a terror weapon, vitamin C? Because it lets you see things that you're not supposed to see. I got you. You're good. Okay. That was from the InfoWars staff behind the curtain right back there. Yeah, I hope you're staying entertained and informed at the same time. Our focus here is to, of course, give you a little bit of both. But this reminds me, here's a quote from someone on the Facebook page who was reacting to this news that DHS put out this tweet about the dangers of frying turkey. And I'm bleeping out the profanity here, so it's clean, okay? It's okay for radio. This person says, quote, "They're only dangerous," talking about the turkey, the turkeys being dropped into the fryers. They're only dangerous because bleeping idiots think they can throw frozen bleep into a vat of boiling bleep on top of an open flame and that everything will be okay. Yeah, he's got a point, right? Think about the laws of physics when you do this stuff. There is an open flame. It can tip easily. There's hot oil, and you shouldn't just throw something frozen in there. All right, but this also brings me to a quote from Thomas Jefferson, which will take us to break. Quote, was the government to prescribe to us our medicine and diet, our bodies would be in such keeping as our souls are now. Thomas Jefferson, notes of the state of Virginia, talking about why we shouldn't have the government telling us what to eat. Get vitamin C, something, say something. That's the winning entry in the Terror Food Alert. Vitamin C, something, say something. We'll be right back on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, welcome back. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex Jones today. And we've been talking about nutrition. Yeah, the evil nutrients, like vitamin C, something, say something. That's Janet Napolitano's favorite vitamin. And then Bill Gates' favorite vitamin is a vitamin D population agenda. How's that? I actually got a laughter from behind the glass on that one. You gotta surprise these guys from time to time. But thank you for joining us. I always enjoy hosting here. It's really an honor to be here, to be filling in for Alex, who's on the road, probably getting stopped by TSA somewhere and filming it and having an altercation of some sort that we're going to find out about tomorrow or the next day. So I can't wait to find out about that. I texted Alex this morning and said, I'm going to be covering Ron Paul. I'm going to be covering some of these things. And I didn't get an answer. So he's probably like on the road, man, just really going for it, trying to get back to Austin as soon as possible. So good for him. And thank you for inviting me on here to host. So continuing, we've got a lot more news coming up. And at the bottom of this hour, we have a Dr. Stuart Lonke, who's going to be joining us to talk about some of the dangers out there in the environment, stuff that we really haven't focused on that much, the heavy metals poisoning in our environment, the chemical poisoning that we're not aware of. And he's really more of a conventional doctor, but who has specialized in cancer prevention by telling the truth about the effects of toxic chemicals and heavy metals. So he'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Until then, we've got more news. All right, Prozac and fluoride. Look, I just wanted to, I know Alex has covered this a lot here on the show, but I wanted to reiterate that Prozac is 94% fluoride. All right, 94% fluoride. So if Prozac makes you chill out and it makes kids feel okay and it makes adults feel okay, what do you think fluoride's doing? You think fluoride is not psychoactive? Of course it's psychoactive. That goes all the way back to Nazi Germany. Oh, by the way, along those lines, I've been reading more books by Jim Mars, and I have to say, read Jim Mars. Read the book called Rise of the Fourth Reich. It is an amazing tour of the Nazi Germany influence on NASA, on the space program, on politics, on banking, on pharmaceuticals, on agriculture, pesticides, you name it. It's incredible, and it's extremely well documented. So giving a big shout out to Jim Mars, who, by the way, is a guest here on the Alex Jones Show from time to time. Also coming up in the next hour, we're going to have Robert Scott Bell joining us. He's a host also with GCN. He has his own radio show, and he's going to be joining us to share some of the things that we all have to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I'm going to be given five things, and Robert's got his five things, and hopefully I want to open up the phones today and ask you to call in and with your comments on Ron Paul, the debates, or the on-fire turkey roasting episode that Janet Napolitano warned us about. Or even maybe what you're thankful for this Thanksgiving, because we do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Really? Even in the midst of all this tyranny and all this oppression and all the insanity out there, think about it. We still have Ron Paul on stage telling the truth. Isn't that amazing? We still have InfoWars. We have Alex Jones. We have this media channel. We have all of you out there, the supporters, the listeners, the viewers, the people who are putting the sending out the tweets and putting it on Facebook and putting the bumper stickers out there and handing out the movies and the DVDs. Good for you. I'm thankful for you. You know, speaking of that, they didn't even ask me to plug this, but I just feel like it's appropriate. Can you give a shot, a video shot of these movies over here? Right now, the InfoWars store is offering the 18 DVDs at a low price. Is that $129? Is that the price? $99? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to turn this into an infomercial. No, I just think it's a great buy. I'm actually picking up this whole set myself today because I haven't seen all of Alex's films. I must admit, I haven't seen them all. I've seen many of them. I followed Alex for many years, but I haven't seen all the films, and I think I can learn some more also because there's nobody on the cutting edge of just doing this research year after year, day after day, sacrificing his personal time. I mean, he's even on vacation reporting, doing the news, doing investigative journalism as he's on vacation. It's like, we're here in the Grand Canyon, and here's what you need to know. Here's another film. Yeah, it's $99.95. All right, so I was off by 95 cents, but $99.95 at the InfoWars.com store. You can get these 18 DVDs, all of Alex Jones' films ever. Woo, that's some Christmas viewing for you right there. Hand them out to your family and friends. Moving on, another topic here. Natural News salutes Jesse Ventura. Look, I heard Jesse on Alex Jones about a week ago, and he said, you know what, he's fighting on the front lines. He's telling the truth. He's doing his part, and the mainstream media isn't recognizing him. And I said, you know what? You're right, man. You are right, and you need more recognition, and you deserve it. So I put out an article that just said, I salute you, man. I salute what you're doing, what you stand for, the truth that you are speaking out there, the shows that you're filming. You are a great American hero, a true patriot, just like Ron Paul, just like Alex Jones, and many other people out there. So, you know, hats off to you, man. Keep up the great work, and you are being recognized by those who still have their sanity. Isn't that good to know? Hey, we don't have to be on the top 10 Mr. Popular list of the general public out there, the fluoride heads. I don't want to be on their top 10 list of popular people. They're too busy with celebrities and musicians and just, I don't know, complete whack jobs. So I don't want to be on their list. I only want to be on the list of people who are into liberty and into freedom. And my list of people I admire is like Paul Craig Roberts. It's like Jesse Ventura. It's like Ron Paul. It's like Alex Jones, right? So and it's like Gerald Celente, by the way. And there's an update on MF Global on the InfoWars.com website today. So if you want to know the latest on that, wow, what an outrageous example of just complete outright theft. Just stealing money from people. Hundreds of millions of dollars, I think, is what was stolen from people, and they don't even care. They're like, just take it. We stole your money, deal with it. That's the new banking system in America today. Next item, we have now confirmed that Walgreens is giving out iPad prizes to employees that push the most flu vaccines. Do you have a Walgreens graphic for those of you watching on prisonplanet.tv? Yep. So we went to Walgreens and, well, I should say we talked to their press department and we said, wait a minute, we've got employees who are saying that you're giving out iPads as prizes when those employees push vaccines onto their customers. Now, we covered this a couple of weeks ago here on the show, but now we've confirmed it, officially confirmed from the corporate headquarters of Walgreens, and they actually gave us a statement, all right? So check out this statement. I guess I got to thank them for getting back in touch with us. They said, quote, our objective during flu season is to protect as many people as possible through the administration of flu shots as an important preventive health measure. It's protection now. Protection. The incentive program, they say, is one of the ways in which we encourage our employees to support this objective. It's like a military objective. And for our pharmacies to continue to play a leading role in helping people stay healthy during the flu season. They should just say amen at the end of that or something, as if they're, because it's almost like they're trying to invoke that they're following the commandments of God, which they are not. They add, we share in the recommendations of the CDC and other national health organizations. Oh, really? They follow the CDC. Okay, that explains it. You mean the CDC, who had one of their own researchers indicted by a federal grand jury in Atlanta for allegedly taking grant money and using it to buy motorcycles and cars and houses? That guy? You mean the same CDC that pushed the false fear story about the pandemic in order to sell more vaccines? Oh, no, wait a minute. Maybe you mean the CDC that was formerly headed by Dr. Julie Gerberding, who after the big swine flu scare went on and took a job as the president of Merck's global vaccine division. Oh, that CDC. That's what Walgreens follows, that CDC. Now I see DC with vitamin C something, say something on the side. Yeah, it's all making sense now. Anyway, Walgreens goes on to say, we encourage flu shots for everyone over the age of 6 months. So a 7-month-old toddler, how about a 19-year-old pregnant woman? You should get a flu shot too. And if a Walgreens employee encourages you to get that flu shot, they might win an iPad. Oh, goody. More electronics from Big Brother Apple. Can't wait. Can't wait to see what... I tell you what, next year, they're going to just pay you to take a flu shot. You want a flu shot, buddy? Here, have a 20. I mean, isn't Safeway giving out coupons now? 10% off your groceries if you get a flu shot. That's true. Oh, you got the photo. Right on. 10% off your groceries. How's that a way to entice the poorest of the poor, people who can't even afford to eat? But if you get a flu shot, yeah, you'll save a few bucks off your macaroni and cheese. Oh, yeah. Just don't buy frozen turkeys. They might explode in your kitchen, says Department of Homeland Security. It's gone crazy, folks. All right. Quick plug for Cornucopia, which has a very important proxy petition that you need to sign. Go to cornucopia.org. That's spelled C-O-R-N, like corn, and then U-C-O-P-I-A, cornucopia.org. Now, look, we had them on InfoWars Nightly News the other night. They are trying to get a lot of petitions signed. They are going to hand deliver to the USDA next week. So the timing on this is urgent. The USDA is holding meetings that could allow organics to be polluted with new synthetic chemicals and additives that the big food conglomerate corporation dominant controllers are trying to get legalized as, quote, organics. Oh, yes, didn't you know your organic food now contains chemicals? Could be, unless you put up a fight, sign that petition at cornucopia.org. And thank you for your support on that. Yes, I drank a chocolate superfood smoothie, so I'm feeling pretty good. And thank you for joining in here on the Alex Jones Show. We've got a lot more coming up on the other side of this break. I'm Mike Adams filling in. Stay with us. We'll be right back in a few minutes. Coming back with Johnny Cash.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel.
I gotta say, I like the intro songs that are chosen for this show. Welcome back. You are listening to the Alex Jones Show on this day before Thanksgiving. And we do want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving from myself, Mike Adams, filling in today for Alex. But of course, Alex, I'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving as well, and the entire crew here at InfoWars.com. Thank you for tuning in. We've got a lot more coming up for you here, a great action-packed show, an info-packed show. That's what we're in the business of doing. Who's coming up here? Dr. Stuart Lonnke is coming up in just a few minutes. He's the author of Invisible Killers. No, it's not a book about the CIA. It's a book about heavy metals and secret poisons that are in the environment that you probably don't know about and you need to know about. But we're going to give you solutions too, folks. We're not here just to tell you everything's dangerous. We'll let Napolitano do that instead. And we're going to give you some solutions because we want you to be safe. We want you to be informed. We want you to be confident. And we want you to have good cognitive function, right? So you can continue to analyze the world around you and think critically about the world around you and vote with your brain engaged. And that's easy, y'all. All you got to do is vote for one guy, Ron Paul. You don't even, you know, It doesn't take much brain power to realize that he's the only one who makes sense. In fact, continuing with our little theme, our little ongoing daily joke theme about vitamin C something, say something, and vitamin D population agenda, I was thinking, what other vitamins are some of the presidential candidates on? Because they're on something. Like, what is Newt Gingrich really taking? I think he's taking vitamin B, tray, the Bill of Rights. Yeah, he's betraying the Bill of Rights and betraying the American people with this talk that you shouldn't have any rights if there's a war. What about Herman Cain? Vitamin E, Z, to fool people about the Federal Reserve, right? It's so easy to fool people. You got some others? Send them on in. Email them to us here. We'll read them on the air in the next segment. I don't know how this got started. It was just completely impromptu, totally random. All right. One other quick thing. I did an article last night that I wanted to talk about on the air today, but we won't have time. So is this, Jaron, is it up on InfoWars, the scientific medical industry cyborg article? You know? All right. I think it's up on InfoWars. I put this together specifically for this show. In that article, which I encourage you to check out on InfoWars.com, of course, you can also find it on Natural News. I laid out the top 10 things that are coming for you in the future under scientific dictatorship. These include things like chip implants. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's real. Chip implants that can control your emotions and control you so that the police can have a pacification switch that turns off entire crowds of protesters, for example. Or having biometrics monitoring devices implanted into your bloodstream or implanted into your tissues where they can read your bloodstream so that they can report back your biometrics, your nutritional status to the government. So the government can actually monitor your nutritional levels. They can monitor if you have, quote, too much vitamin D. Yeah, you're taking too much vitamin D, they're going to make sure you don't take that. They will know. Anyway, there are 8 other things that you need to know about human cyborgs, super soldiers, other technologies that could be in our future. They're not necessarily predictions. They're just sort of little sketches, let's say, of what is possible under scientific dictatorship. Because, we've already seen GMOs. We've already seen vaccines go way off the charts into the world of insanity with aluminum and with mercury and with live viral material going into the vaccines. That's crazy. That's all, quote, scientific. But we don't have time for that whole discussion. So, going to go on to the next topic and get ready for our guest at the bottom of the hour by talking to you about the poisoning of our world. Now, what really got me interested in this, you know, I'm a researcher. I'm an investigative journalist most of the time when I'm not here putting on firemen's outfits and burning turkeys for fun. Not fun. That was just alluding to the last segment. I read this article from, believe it or not, Scientific American, which Scientific American is mostly a very conventional, closed-minded type of magazine, in my opinion. They report just the official scientific truth. So it was very surprising to me to find Scientific American actually covering this topic, which is the toxic top 10. What are the top 10 most toxic things in our world that are impacting the greatest number of people in our world? Scientific American, believe it or not. And they gave us this list of 10 things. Mercury, lead, chromium, lead. See, lead's in here multiple times. This is my point. More mercury, arsenic, pesticides, more lead. Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to talk to you about lead, mercury poisoning, chemical poisoning, and some solutions. So we're having a great time here. Stay with us on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. What is that music? What is that? I don't know. They're throwing me crazy stuff today is what they're doing. They're trying to throw me off. See, once you get comfortable in this chair, they play games with you. Try to catch you off guard. Not going to let them do it. You hear that, Jaron? All right, we are back. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Lonke here in just a minute, who is a toxicologist and an expert in so-called invisible killers. In fact, he has a book called Invisible Killers, which goes into some of the environmental causes that are preventable, the things that cause cancer, lots of chemicals in the environment, lots of heavy metals, things that you may not be aware of and in places that you may not have thought about. So we're going to be asking Dr. Lonnke about those kinds of questions. But let me continue with the setup on that. Getting back to what I alluded to before the break, a Scientific American article talked about the toxic top 10 things in our world that are impacting the most people. And let me just read the list very quickly because you'll be surprised. I was shocked. They are, and I'm not stuttering, this is actually the list. It repeats. Number one, mercury, then lead, pesticides, lead, chromium, mercury, lead, arsenic, and pesticide manufacturing. Those are the 10 things. Now, you may have noticed lead is in there a whole lot. They are lead pollution from industrial processes, lead pollution from mining, lead pollution from improper battery recycling, and so on. We've got arsenic in groundwater. See, this reminds me, I love it when all the fluoride proponents say, oh, we're just going to adjust the naturally occurring fluoride levels in your water, as if to say, because it's natural, it must be good for you. Well, arsenic is natural. I don't want arsenic in my water, do you? Should we add arsenic into the water to make it more natural? I mean, that's the logic of the fluoride pushers. Should we add lead? Lead is natural in that sense. Look, just because it comes out of the ground doesn't mean it's good for you. Uranium comes out of the ground. I don't want to be taking uranium pills. Anyway, you got to think about this stuff, all right? That's crucial. Anyway, that's enough. That's enough of an intro. Diabetes is going to hit 1 in 10 Americans by 2030, according to the most recent news. 1 in 4 U.S. women is now on psychiatric drugs. 25%. It's incredible. Let's get some answers from Dr. Stuart Lonnke. He's a board-certified expert in internal medicine. He's in private practice right now. He used to be at UC, University of California, San Diego. He is a postdoctoral fellow at the National Institutes of Health, or he was. I mean, that was his experience. And he joins us now by phone from California to help us get some answers on these environmental causes of cancer, which are preventable as well. Dr. Stuart Lonnke, are you with us? Thank you for joining us.
I am. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I was listening to your reading off of the list, and it's kind of, I chuckle a little bit, because I think that most people are aware of the fact that there are exposures. For example, let's take lead. I think everyone says, you know, there's not lead in paint anymore. And, you know, I understand the industrial exposures to lead, but I don't think that most people are aware of the fact that, you know, those people who live, for example, in inner cities, where the plumbing is still lead-lined pipes, there's a fair amount of lead in their drinking water. I don't think most people are aware of the fact that many of the products that come from abroad are still painted and finished with lead-based paints.
Like the Halloween face paints from China. Those had lead in them, right?
Absolutely. And children's toys. I think that they're most people that live in the suburbs say, well, I've got copper plumbing. I'm not worried about that. The solder that they used to solder those pipes contain lead. The water that sits in your house overnight has that lead leach out of that solder into the water that you turn on in the morning. You see, so no one is immune from any of this. And, of course, the kinds of exposures that we talk about in Invisible Killers are the kinds of exposures that aren't related to toxic spills. Everyone's right. Aware of a toxic spill. But the fact that you eat sushi and the fact that you're being exposed to mercury from the fish that you're eating, or if you don't eat sushi, the fact that the foods that you're eating are from plants or even animals that drank water or that were fed on feed that came from fish that were laden with mercury. The fact is that almost all of us carry with us a toxic burden. And what the book really focuses on is the fact that that toxic burden starts in utero. And that's something that was very important for me to come to a conclusion regarding the fact that the average newborn from umbilical cord blood has over 200 toxins already already in their body. So if one looks at umbilical cord blood, you'll find pesticides, you'll find mercury, you'll find arsenic, you'll find lead. All of these have been lovingly transmitted across the placenta from mom to newborn. And the fact is that there are about 80,000 chemicals that are in commercial use today. I won't go into the Toxic Substance Act of 1976 and the fact that those chemicals can be out there without any previous testing regarding whether they're safe.
Right, all grandfathered in.
There's no testing that's required. The FDA does not regulate this whatsoever. However, of the 80,000 that are in use today, some 10,000 of these chemicals weren't even in existence 5 years ago. So we continually put new chemicals into our environment, from the deodorizers that you plug into the wall in your home to dry cleaning fluid that you bring home your clothes and hang in your closet, from the flame retardants that are required to coat mattresses and baby clothes. It's a good idea to retard flames, but those flame retardants are polybrominated diphenyl esters.
But here's the thing, Dr. Lunke, sorry to interrupt, but here's the thing. Most people out there believe that if all these chemicals are being used in these products, if California, for example, requires these flame retardants to be on these infant mattresses, then they must be safe because the government would not allow these chemicals and these metals to be used in products if they weren't proven safe. But your position and what's available in your book, Invisible Killers, and I think the website for that is invisiblekillers.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, but your book and your position is that these are not, they've never been proven safe. They are a very provable threat to health, and that we need to be looking at preventing cancer as much as we look at treating it after the fact, right?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that we will be coming out with very shortly, and I told you before we went on the air, is our very next project is going to be called, Clear Beginnings. Because what we're really talking about here is the fact that the FDA has no regulatory authority over the chemicals that are used in the marketplace. That's a Federal Trade Commission regulation. And the Toxic Substance Act of 1976 says that's quite all right. Now, some of your listeners may be aware of the fact that there's a large group of people in Congress right now and a bill going through Congress that will modify the Toxic Substance Act of 1976, and it's about time that happens. But the politics of poisoning is really something that's very special.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take, for example, baby bottles and so on and so forth. And we know that there are chemicals in plastics and so on and so forth that leach into baby bottles, into the food, and that all of our soup cans and baby food cans are
1,200% higher BPA levels in the blood of people who eat canned soup.
That's right. And we know that bisphenol A, that BPA, there are hundreds of articles talking about the cellular effects, the hormone emulation effects, the potentially carcinogenic effects through modulation of the immune system. All of these data are such that Canada, for example, very quickly outlawed its use in baby bottles. However, here in the United States, the chemical industry has an extraordinarily strong lobby, and it's been nearly impossible to get anything done. I think here in California, we finally said that BPA has to be out of baby bottles and out of baby food by 2013.
But it's extraordinary that there are very few people such as yourself and Dr. Samuel Epstein who are raising the alarm about these chemicals. The cancer industry, the conventional cancer industry, I'm saying, they don't say a word about the toxic chemicals in cosmetics and personal care products and foods and medicines and fire retardant chemicals. So, I mean, why are they so silent about all of this, in your opinion, Dr. Lunke?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with an insistence on scientific proof and scientific methodology. As physicians, we are kind of brought up on the drug company regimen. That is, you do a double-blind study, and you prove without a shadow of a doubt that a certain certain chemical causes a certain effect, and you do that over and over again. Well, I don't think we're going to get too many volunteers for those studies, and when we do it in animal models, some people scoff at that. But I think that there's a great lack of enthusiasm for it because it doesn't fall into the realm of the kind of thing that most doctors know what to do about.
Hey,
doctors feel really comfortable when they know what to do about something.
Yeah, that's a good point. But look, I think you could get a whole bunch of volunteers in America. You just give them 10% off their groceries and they'll inject themselves with anything. I'm serious. You give them a free iPad drawing, and they'll take some lead, they'll take some mercury, and because they don't know anything about this.
And I think that we talk about, let's go back to the lead, because you mentioned it so many times in your discussion. There are so many wonderful articles now that make us understand, for example, doctors will treat toxic lead levels. We get an alarm when 10 micrograms or greater are in the blood, and we say that above 20 micrograms, you need to actually be treating somebody with chelating agents and removing the lead. There was a study that was done in the University of Cincinnati, published in 2008. It's a wonderful study. They followed 250 women from their pregnancy, and they followed their children for 20 years. And all of these were inner city individuals, women. They all gave birth, and obviously they tracked the lead levels. They tracked bone lead levels by X-ray diffraction, as well as blood lead levels. And they followed these kids until they were 5 or 6 years old, and then they followed them till they became 20. And they were able to show that with lead levels that no one would treat. You follow me?
Yeah, right. Subclinical lead levels.
If you divide them into quartiles, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, and 15 to 20, you could draw a straight line with the incidence of violent crime.
Wow. Have there been studies done of lead levels of criminals who are currently being incarcerated?
Absolutely. And there's correlations with lead levels because lead concentrates not only in the bone, but in the brain.
See, this gets
and
to
so,
my...
And so let me make no, one
yeah, go ahead,
important
go ahead.
Point. And that is, all of what we're saying, all of this, what does it really mean? And what it really means is this. It's unlikely that we're going to legislate away all of these 80,000 chemicals. It's unlikely that we're going to begin to test all of the 80,000 chemicals in current use. We just have to accept the fact that if I took 100 people and I tested them right now, measuring bone levels and fat levels, because all of these organic chemicals are soluble in fat, and blood levels, everyone is carrying a burden of toxins, and it's different from one person to the next. What we do know is that pregnant moms pass these toxins onto the fetus. You can bet that my mother, 50 years ago plus, had a much lower concentration of all of these chemicals that are present in women today.
Right. It's just getting worse in society.
When I went to medical school, the greatest breakthrough was birth control pills. Today, we have fertility clinics. I've had that when I
right.
was in medical school. We never heard of ADD and ADHD. The autism rates are higher. Children with leukemia, brain cancer, all of these things happening. What can we do about it? What we can do is make an understanding, a complete understanding, that we have to give kids a clear beginning. That is, the population that we have to get the message to, and we have to bring products to help them detoxify, is that group of people who are going to give birth to the next generation.
Childbearing age women, yeah.
College kids,
clearly.
Young adults. Yeah, it's important to take care of people who are older and middle age as well.
Well, but that's the thing. You've raised some fantastic points, and I want to just remind the listeners that you're listening to an interview with Dr. Stuart Lonnke, the author of Invisible Killers. His website is invisiblekillers.com. We're going to continue this interview here on the Alex Jones Show. And in fact, if you're interested, if you'd like to call in and maybe ask a question of Dr. Lonnke, we're going to open up the phones at 800-259-9231. So you can call in after this upcoming break. But you mentioned, Dr. Lonnke, the correlation between lead presence in bone and tissues and violent crime, or at least incarceration for crimes. This brings me to the psychological and behavioral component of these, of exposure to these heavy metals. This is what interests me in particular.
Well, it's a big factor. Lead and mercury are the two, you know, the hatters. You ever hear of the Mad Hatter?
Sure.
I'm sure your listeners are aware of the fact that's because they lined felt hats with mercury in the old days, and the hatters used to lick their brushes.
Yeah.
I was mad as a hatter.
Yeah, it'll drive you insane. But this is my question. Do you think that at least some portion of the insanity that we see across modern culture today is caused by this exposure to heavy metals?
Undoubtedly. There is not one ounce of scientific doubt in my mind. I think that it is one of the factors. What I want the listeners to understand is it's not the only factor.
Sure.
There are many factors that go into it. But if you can remove, just think about this, if we can remove this veil, take this veil away from all of what's going on in society today, behavioral abnormalities, medical abnormalities, the obesity epidemic, obesity in kids. Now, maybe your listeners will understand, if you're born with all of these chemicals that are hormone emulators and stack the deck against you, metabolizing glucose normally, well, why wouldn't these kids get diabetes earlier? Why wouldn't they have a higher incidence?
Well, and why wouldn't our prisons be filled with criminals? And doesn't this call into question the entire so-called criminal justice system? If punishing people for their, quote, behavior by throwing them in prison without treating some of what might be the causes, chemicals or metals poisoning, isn't that a completely incomplete and, in fact, an unjust system of justice?
Yes, but I think that the legal system, like the political system, are very, very difficult places to crack. I think we have to do this as a grassroots movement of education of young people, their parents.
All right, Dr. Lunkin, we gotta go to break. I'm sorry to cut you off. Please stay with us, though. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with more from Dr. Stuart Lunkin here on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yes, we are back on this November 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. This is Mike Adams filling in for the Alex Jones Show here, and tripping up my words just a little bit. But I hope you're enjoying the show. We are interviewing Dr. Stuart Lunkin, who is an expert in internal medicine and toxicology, and he was mentioning some of the food sources. He mentioned a lot of people eating sushi. Now, I don't know about you, Dr. Lunkin. I don't eat sushi. I only eat firebombed turkeys airdropped into vats of boiling oil. That is my diet, DHS compliant.
See, I should make people be aware of the fact that you can't get away from this. You talked about arsenic. You talked about arsenic in water, but how many people out there listening to your show have wood decks, have wood swing sets?
Oh, pressure-treated wood, yeah.
All that treated wood is treated with an arsenic-containing compound. Now, kids will crawl on it, and you will handle the wood, and then you'll make yourself a sandwich, won't you?
Yeah, but what...
And most of these toxins, I want the listeners to know, yes, for the women, cosmetics is a major source, but by and large, by far and away, the largest source, mode of exposure to all of these toxins is you eat them.
You eat them.
They're in the food, they're on your hands, and some of them you inhale, there's no question. Some of them get through your skin, but ingestion, the GI tract, is the major introduction of most of these toxins.
Well, let's talk about that. When you ingest these toxins, I want to get to what, in your research and your experience, what kinds of effects do you see? Are people hallucinating? Do they hear sounds of chirping birds? Do they make bad decisions about elections? I mean, what is really the impact?
Well, I won't touch that one. But I think that, I think they're so subtle, Mike. That's the thing that's important for people to understand. People get stomach aches more frequently. They tend to have more constipation and then some diarrhea, and they tend to have nausea episodes. They tend to get muscle aches and pains. They are so nondescript. They are so nonspecific to a specific exposure. You would think, oh, arsenic exposure. We're talking about arsenic toxicity. That's easy. We're talking about lead toxicity. That's easier. Those people become psychotic. They become problematic. But irrational behavior, unusual behavior, increased lethargy, all of these, people say, well, he's just run down. Well, he's under a lot of stress. Well, he's ingesting arsenic. They don't say that.
What percentage of the U.S. Congress do you think is suffering from heavy metals toxicity? I got to ask.
Congress is suffering from a significant amount of toxicity, but we all are. And the fact is it's happening imperceptibly to us. It happens generationally. It's easy. Hindsight is really 20/20. And that's why when we look at the data, we look at epidemiologic data, and we say it's unreasonable that the incidence of autism and behavioral deficit or attention deficit, and I call it behavioral deficit because it's more than just attention.
Yeah.
It's the whole behavior. You see these hyperactive kids, and I watch it all the time. It's very interesting. My daughter, my younger daughter, detoxed for a year before she even got pregnant, all through her pregnancy. And I watch my grandson, who's three, and his behavior contrasted with other three-year-olds.
Quick question, because we're almost out of time. Does your book offer people some solutions for detox?
It does. And there are a handful and a growing number, and there are some extraordinarily effective ways that we can begin to detox. We need to figure out ways to bring that to people.
All right, we got to go to break. Dr. Lonkey, thank you. Thank you so much. We'll be right back in 1 minute. I'll give you some more solutions on the other side of this break. Thank you. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, welcome back. This is Mike Adams filling in for Alex Jones today here on the Alex Jones Show, Wednesday, November 22nd, 2011, the day before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. And of course, be sure to practice caution in your kitchen this Thanksgiving. Don't set anything on fire because the firemen need to be at home with their families this Thanksgiving. They've had a rough summer of it here in Texas. Let's give them some time off. Along those lines, hey, don't wrap your Christmas trees in hot lights and bad electrical wiring and then set it in the middle of your house like a firebomb. I bet you we're going to get a warning from DHS about that. Don't put a Christmas tree in your house. Yeah, it's going to be an official tweet. It's another weapon of terror, according to DHS. That's my prediction. They haven't done it yet. Let's not give them any ideas. They're just going to ruin Christmas, aren't they? They're going to unwrap all your presents at the airport, not because there's anything dangerous in there, just because they're curious. They just want to unwrap stuff. They just want to destroy stuff. They want to get the Christmas tree out of your house, get the turkey out of your kitchen, just make you have a really rough and tough holiday so you remember who's in charge, right? That's what they're after. Anyway, we just finished a segment with Dr. Stuart Lonkey, the author of Invisible Killers. And that was my first time interviewing Dr. Lonkey. I don't know him personally, but he came up as the guy to talk to about that topic. And I know we did not get to solutions yet, so I want to share some of those with you. Also, we did not get to your calls, and I apologize. The call screen system is not up here right now. We're working on that. I do intend to take some of your calls in this hour. So feel free to call in with some comments. Hopefully we get that working. I'm not ignoring your calls. That's my message to you. I'm trying to get that up and running. But in the last segment, we talked to Dr. Lonkey, who I think we could talk to him for hours about the real hardcore information about heavy metals poisoning and the toxicity that is infecting the minds of the American people. And I've got a working theory on this, that part of the insanity that has infected America today, the reason why you have presidential debates where people make no sense, why you have leadership at the executive level that is saying we need to spend a few trillion more dollars to get us out of the trillions in debt we're already in. Yeah, that's kind of insane. That's pure clinical insanity, if you think about it. As Gerald Celente, I'm sure, would have a few comments about the insanity going on at MF Global today. These days, it's pretty much insane. But why is it so insane? So I asked Dr. Lonkey, do you think members of Congress are suffering from heavy metals toxicity? And he said yes, and he thinks everybody is. But I bet you, if you were to go into Congress and have them subject themselves to blood tests, woo, wouldn't that be interesting? You might find some non-human DNA in the mix there, according to David Icke, right? But you would definitely find some heavy metals in that mix. Probably a lot of lead, a lot of arsenic, a lot of mercury. Everybody who voted for the Patriot Act is probably suffering from lead poisoning. No, I don't mean from bullets. I know what you're thinking. No, I mean from their food, from the lead in their pipes, from that thing, other sources of lead. Or mercury poisoning. Because their moms, let's say, that yes, they do have mothers, their moms were eating tuna fish when they were pregnant, and the mercury went through the blood and got into the developing minds of the little infant fetuses that were going to be born and someday become senators. So now they're insane. But they're in charge. That's scary. That's kind of disturbing, actually. Let's not let that happen. Let's get healthy. Let's detox. And along those lines, just from my own experience, got a break coming up very quickly. Avoid exposure to heavy metals. Eat lots of fibrous foods. Apples contain pectin, juice, a lot of vegetables. Chlorella and cilantro bind to heavy metals and help carry them out of your body. So does grapefruit pectin and other natural fibers. Detox yourself. Get those heavy metals out of your body and out of your brain, and you will make better decisions as a result. We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break as we are joined by Robert Scott Bell.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back, patriots and heroes of the free world. We are engaged in our worldwide transmission here on The Alex Jones Show. I'm the fill-in host today, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Yeah, the editor of naturalnews.com and an occasional host here. And we've been having a great time with you today, talking about all kinds of heavy metals, poisoning, and ways you can avoid that and get that out of your body, because it affects the minds of men and women. And shortly, we're going to be joined by Robert Scott Bell, and we're going to talk about our list of things that you can be thankful for, the things that we're thankful for this Thanksgiving. It is actually a holiday of giving thanks. So let's do that. Let's give some gratitude out there where it is due. And we'd like to take your calls during this hour. So please call us at 259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. We'll get you on the board and we'll get your calls in. And just before we get to Robert Scott Bell here, finishing up that last segment, I do believe that the insanity that we are witnessing today with the Federal Reserve, with the presidential debates, remember when Rick Perry couldn't remember the third thing, the third Department of Government that he was going to cut? I think that could be a mercury side effect. I mean, he was the one pushing the vaccines, Gardasil. Did he take some Gardasil himself? I don't know, but I bet he took some other vaccines and might be suffering from some metals. It's metals poisoning himself. It's just, look, I don't have his medical records, so I don't know for sure, but it is a possibility that these people who can't think rationally and can't speak without a teleprompter, that they may be suffering from heavy metals poisoning. I can only imagine a U.S. senator suffering from high levels of lead and cadmium and arsenic and mercury, thinking to himself, let's pass a Patriot Act version 2. And let's catch criminals by reaching down their pants, and then we'll take some time off from the Senate. Pickler's fortnight, and I'll go take a long walk off a short pier, and at my feet I will discover Patriot Act version 3, and we'll enact that. That's the level of insanity that I'm talking about. Just complete cats and dogs living together, quote Bill Murray. Total insanity out there. But let's move on to something a little more sane and a little more, let's say, humbling this holiday season. Things to be thankful for. And for that segment, we are joined by none other than Robert Scott Bell, who also is a radio host on the Genesis Communications Network. And he just did a fantastic interview with Governor Jesse Ventura that aired a couple of days ago. Robert is joining us by Skype. Robert, are you with us? Are you there? Hello. Are you on? Okay, Robert, can you hear me?
Mike, you there?
Yes, I can hear you. Good to hear your voice, man. How you doing?
I apologize. I'm not hearing any audio.
Okay, we'll get that hooked up here.
I got you, Mike. Now I can hear you.
All right, great. I thought maybe a little bit of mercury was affecting me there for a moment, but now I realize I'm totally sane. So go ahead.
You're good. I'm definitely not bringing any mercury today. If anything, I'd be bringing some mercury detox with me.
Yeah, what do you think, by the way, on that? Before we get into the Thanksgiving list, what you have actually studied a lot of detox. What are the top detoxification techniques in your experience for getting rid of heavy metals?
Well, yeah, it's a great topic. We covered a lot on the show. There's always more questions, 10 more every time you bring up one of the solutions or 10 of them. And, of course, my background in energetic homeopathic medicine after being raised allopathically or pharmaceutically, having to undo so much of the damage of modern medicine, I think one of the most important things to understand is that there's an energy to every metal. And we've covered this, you and I, too. And, of course, the metabolism of the body deals, we're dealing with energy. And, of course, identifying these toxic metals is one thing. And for many of us who have been exposed, for instance, to mercury through dental fillings or through vaccination or other environmental exposures, there's been so much over time, albeit a small amount over time, that is constantly leaching into the tissue, et cetera, that the body seems to kind of, I would say neutralize it, but it can't react vigorously against it anymore because it's always present and it would exhaust us to death.
Yeah, it's like being slowly poisoned by a virus or, let's say, a bacteria living in your gut that's been genetically modified and it's churning out BT toxin in your own digestive tract. I mean, it's that bad, right?
It really is. Like, think of, you know, walking through life with a big, heavy lead mercury anchor. You know, you wouldn't be moving anywhere very quickly, and pretty soon, it'd wear you down, basically. And that's what we're talking about with these heavy metals, among many things that happen. So I obviously go to the ultimate in unconventionality, which would be energy medicine, of course, homeopathy. I know a lot of people that are materialists and reductionists are not in favor of it, although it's completely harmless. Some would say, well, there's nothing there. We can get into discussion of that. But I found it to be most profound in terms of assisting all of the other botanical and chelating agents from nature.
So you
and even some of the synthetic nutrients that are used in aggressive urgent care in medicine when they do intravenous chelation. But
right.
The missing element typically is the homeopathic signatures, whether it be homeopathic mercurius, which is mercury. We can do it with lead, which is plumbum metallicum. We can do it with arsenic, with arsenicum album. I mean, we can literally pick any metal that is toxic and shouldn't be in the body and address it homeopathically in conjunction with support for the excretory pathways of the body.
All right, so you're not saying if you're suffering a highly toxic level of acute lead poisoning, you're not saying just treat it with homeopathy. You're saying in the emergency room, they'll do the IV chelation.
Right.
They will do maybe some other medicines. But then in addition to that, you can do some botanical approaches and you can do homeopathic approaches, which have zero negative side effects anyway, to assist in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you only have a plus factor. I mean, if you realize the energy it takes to address and mobilize the defenses to bind and get this stuff out of your system, you'll want every advantage you have. So at the very least, homeopathic adjuncts. And that would also go with remedies that specifically support liver-kidney pathways. You may have already discussed this, but I think one of the other things to reduce the burden on the liver and kidneys with these metals is far-infrared healing light-type technologies.
Oh, yeah, that's great. It helps you sweat out toxins. It's really... Yeah, except if you overdo the sweat lodge situation, in which case you pass out and die, as happened. Who was that? Who was the guru guy that had the sweat lodge deaths?
I don't remember his name, but he just got sentenced to a number of years.
Oh, man.
And that's why we have to be diligent and vigilant, if you will, about even the natural realm, that there are people that don't understand, you know, necessarily how to do these things safely. I mean, obviously, you go into far infrared heat, you go to excess, literally a body temperature issue could put you in a bad way, just like in a sweat lodge scenario.
Yeah, if you feel yourself passing out, people, you know, don't continue. Get out of the infrared little closet there and drink some water.
Yeah, it's kind of like the brilliant people that put frozen turkeys in peanut fryers.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you think about that? Did you like the little firebombing demo that we've been warned about?
Well, you know, it's sort of cheating ahead, because that was one of the things I was going to tell you I was grateful for, that the TSA, the Turkey Security Administration, and the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, turkeys basically, have warned us and saved us. I mean, how many millions of Americans are now safe because of their warning?
I think it's the Department of Home Cooking Security now.
Exactly. You know, we're talking about Taliban turkey terrorism now.
What do you think about vitamin C, see something, say something? That's our favorite nutrient now here at the InfoWars team.
If you happen to see any vitamin C anywhere, you must say something. You must turn that in. It's a controlled substance, more dangerous than anything. Well, actually, no, Big Pharma is the real danger. And by the way, you know, I covered on the show just prior to coming on board here today. Of course, you did as well, I'm sure, the Ron Paul debate, so to speak. I mean, it was him and everybody else, and sensational things when he acknowledged the failure of the war on drugs. And he acknowledged, alone among that crew, as the doctor as well, the danger of the FDA prescription drugs being
did. Yeah. He said more people are being killed by prescription drugs than in was he comparing it to the drug war deaths or terrorism deaths? I don't recall.
Drug war, to the illicit drugs as such. And, you know, we're not endorsing the use of synthetic street drugs either. Point is, the botanicals of creation are certainly not what we need to be concerned with. We need to be concerned about the growth of government, which is, you know, an artificial creation, and our founding fathers certainly warned us against what we're living through right now.
Well, if you think about the big threats that they're trying to scare us about, they're all imaginary. The whole war on terror, completely imaginary. Where are the terrorists? Where? Yeah. Walk around. Where? I haven't seen any terrorists. Your odds of being killed by a terrorist, even if you buy the 9/11 story, your odds of being killed by a terrorist are far lower, literally tens of thousands of times lower than being killed by an FDA-approved pharmaceutical. So where's the war on pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, where is that war on that drugs, you know, which we might say it would be a legitimate one to declare, and we could actually win and get it done with. I would say if we occupy the FDA, my good friend John Rappaport had indicated that might be the next step here, because they're looking at pulling 2/3 or more of the dietary supplements off the market with these new guidelines.
I think it'd be great if the people making the laws in Washington would simply occupy their own minds, because they're way off world, occupying something way out there. And Robert, we're going to take calls, by the way. We've got a couple people on, not in this segment, but in the following segment. But sure. Let's get to our list. We've got some things to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. I know you brought five things. I brought five things, and then maybe the callers have some things. What do you want to start off with?
Well, yeah, some are serious, some are funny, obviously. As I mentioned, the TSA's announcement about the turkey fryers, which I'm so grateful for that. But it is an absurdist notion. When they do that, it wakes more people up. So I am genuinely grateful for their absurdity and stupidity. But, you know, I think one of the things we have to, and we'll probably both agree on this, that we're very grateful for and have been for a long time, is Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul. As a human, just much less as a congressman and all the things that he's doing, to wake up the sleeping population here in America and perhaps around the world because of the growth of the message via the internet and through InfoWars, Alex Jones, and the great work he's doing as well. And I'm truly grateful, because he's been a catalyst to bring awareness in ways very few have been able to get this kind of information out. And although it's taken many decades, the fact is it's having a major impact now. We're seeing him climb to the top of the charts in Iowa. And his tenacity, his continued steadfastness, and unwillingness to give up or change the message.
Well, Robert, you are pirating my list. He was number one on my list of things to be thankful for, too. So I guess I got to come up with more. And your calls are coming up. Richard, Frank, Janice, Judy, and John will get to your calls and more things to be thankful for right here on the Alex Jones Show on this day before Thanksgiving. Stay with us. We'll be right back in a few minutes. Yeah. That's pretty dramatic. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm filling in today for Alex. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com, and we are on to a list of the top things that we are thankful for on this Thanksgiving. Your calls are coming up, and we've got Robert Scott Bell joining us by Skype, and I am powered by Chocolate Superfood Smoothie. Here it is in a canning jar. That's what I bring here every time. No, this is not a substance enhanced performance unless you consider cacao. That's cocoa. For those of you, it's cacao from South America. That is the only substance that I take before I do my shows here. Just good nutrition, good alkaloids in there. Helps protect brain function and neurological function and just makes you feel good about being alive. What do you say, Robert? You happy to be alive today?
Oh, yeah, I'm grateful. Absolutely. I was buzzing on cacao the other day when I was interviewing the old Governor Jesse Ventura on the air. That was a hoot.
Yeah, that was a great interview. He really unloaded and just did not censor himself at all. He had a story about Fox News and all kinds of stuff.
He had a blast. He really enjoyed it. I think, you know, that leads me to my second level of gratitude. And not that we're going to say one's more than another, but the second one here for me is the new media. And that includes you, Mike. It includes Alex Jones, Natural News, et cetera. And all of the people out there that have become the media through social networks, through blog sites, through everything. Because it is really part of the next revolution, the awakening, if you will, and you know, the things that Jesse Ventura is doing. And he was so giddy because, you know, we actually get to discuss things and not do sound bites, go in depth on issues that, you know, I think there's a hunger for that. That's why the new media is growing. That's why Alex is growing so much, you know, despite a bad economy out there. The thing is the hunger for this information. And, you know, there are a few people out there like yourself and Alex that are providing it. And we're doing our level best to get this information out there. So I'm very grateful that we're all doing this. And that includes all the people that think they're just listeners. They're more than that. They're taking this information. They're doing things with it that are extraordinary.
They are. Absolutely. The new media is going to be the future media because the old media is the dead media. They're irrelevant. When people wake up, as they are doing now, they realize that the old media is just lying to them or distracting them or refusing to report the stories that they should be hearing about, like all the heavy metals in your copper pipes, in your lead pipes, in your food, in your children's toys, for example. Yeah. Where's the reporting on that story? You won't see that in the mainstream media, typically. You'll only get it in places like this.
Yeah, and much less the willingness to discuss natural options that are not approved of by the government, you know, that we would ever think that the government would have, you know, the ability to arbitrate and make a decision about what we put into our bodies or how we take things out of our bodies. I mean, it's a sorry state that we are in. I mean, these are the things I'm not really grateful for, but I acknowledge in my own life, Mike, and you know my story, having suffered through 24 years of chronic illness brought about by government medicine, monopoly medicine. If I had not suffered the way I did, I would not know a fraction of the things I know today to be able to communicate regularly through and being a part of the new media. So suffering is not all bad. I don't wish it upon anybody. But at the same time, I learned a great deal because of the suffering I went through.
Yeah, me too. I used to be borderline obese, diabetic, chronic pain, extremely difficult mental state. I went through a lot. And yeah, I got healed just like you got healed. And I'm thankful for that as well. Let me get to the second one on my list.
Sure.
This is an unusual choice, perhaps, and people might not be expecting this. And I do want to take your calls later on here shortly. But I want to thank my wife. I want to thank my wife and all the wives out there who, your wife, Robert, and Alex's wife, and Jesse Ventura's wife, and all the wives out there who understand the importance of what we do and support us in our efforts to be on the front lines. And to tell the truth, sometimes even at risk to our own safety.
Yeah.
Because it we cannot do what we do without the support of the women in our households and the women in our communities. And I want to give a big shout out to all the women out there who are also patriots, who also support freedom, who support your husband's fights for freedom and for the future generations of America.
Yeah, I will obviously second that, or else I'll be in big trouble.
I set you up for that, Robert.
No, but she, you know, honestly, it is that. They realize what we're doing, and they stand behind us and give us strength and sustenance in so many ways. And I'll bless them, love them dearly. And even, you know, Carol Paul, who I met, Ron Paul's wife of, 50 years or so now, amazing woman standing beside her husband. And, you know, literally he's putting his life at risk by doing what he is doing, the more he gains traction. A debt of gratitude that we owe to those women. And, you know, if I add something along that vein, I think one of the things more recently that I'm very grateful for are the Raw Milk Freedom Riders. These are also in the mom
wife. Great moms.
Yeah.
These moms. Hey, we're getting ready to go to break, Robert. Sorry to cut you off. But we will be right back in a few minutes with more things to be thankful for, including taking your calls. I promise we'll get it working after this break. Stay with us right here on the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, and we'll be right back.
Shackles on me.
Yeah, welcome back. We don't want no shackles on us.
Don't want no
either
shackles.
Thank you for being part of the InfoWar effort to restore our freedom and liberty in America. Thank you for being a listener and a supporter of InfoWars.com and the Alex Jones Show and all the great heroes and patriots out there who quite literally sacrifice their time with families often, to bring you this information. And thank you all of you out there for playing your part and sharing the information and doing the tweets and doing the Facebook posts and linking to the stories on InfoWars and donating money during the recent money bomb and everything that you do to keep this operation running and just kicking it out there. We are hitting it hard because it is no time to rest. Tyranny is upon us. Freedom is within our reach, but only if we stand up right now and do what is necessary to protect it and restore it. And we are joined right now by Robert Scott Bell. We've also got callers waiting on the line. And Robert, would you be okay? How about we take a call right now?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We do. We love it.
All right. Let's go to Richard in Washington. Richard, you're on the air with Mike Adams and Robert Scott Bell. How you doing?
Real good. Great show. You guys kind of touched on the thing. I find it highly ironic that an MD, an allopathic practitioner, who both doctors and dentists plug the body full of toxicity, is worried about the environmental sources of this toxicity. I find that really totally ironic. But the point I majorly wanted to make was, and Robert can touch on this also, the energetic aspect is, if you study our anthropology, when we were hunter-gatherers, we didn't cook our proteins and fats above body temperature. You know, we may have put them over an open fire or whatever, but essentially our proteins and fats were in a raw form. And each of us has a choice. Putting cooked proteins and fats into our system is what causes our health situation. You can study the Kellogg Report or the works of Price or Pottinger.
Yeah, but you're not saying to eat raw meat, though, are you? Or
yes, I am.
You are? Wow.
No organism in the world cooks their food other than the humans, and which is the sickest species on the world.
Yeah, I've heard talk, you know, a lot of people talking about that, and I appreciate your comments. And it is, first, about, you mentioned about the doctor we had on earlier. Yeah, it's interesting, but we got to give credit to those MDs who do veer off the path of just poisoning people and who start to look at the causes of disease and work on preventing it. And you know, that doctor, Dr. Lonke, is willing to put his book out there, Invisible Killers, a book that is not going to be well-liked by the cancer industry. But, you know, a good point on that. Now, tell us more about the raw meat thing. So you don't think we should cook our turkeys like firebombs in vats of oil? Is that what you're saying?
No. What everybody's worried about is bacteria, molds, and funguses. But if you actually are in the parasympathetic state and you secrete hydrochloric acid, that's nothing more than food. It's only because we eat so many carbohydrates and have destroyed the parasympathetic state and our secretion of hydrochloric acid that we are no longer able to digest the raw proteins and fats and utilize those for foods. There's a whole modern perspective that is challenging our system, and instead of addressing what we should be doing naturally in our eating habits, we essentially deal with the unnatural situation we've developed and claim that's the problem. All you have to do is look at the physiology.
No, those are really
find
good.
Out that we're being miseducated.
Very good points, Richard. Robert, what's your take on that? I mean, personally, I'm not going to eat raw meat, but I do eat mostly, really, I don't know, 50% raw diet, let's say, but it's plants, not meats. What's your take on it, Robert?
It is fascinating, and the caller does bring up a good point, and that is that we have such gastrointestinal insufficiencies, inflammation, dysfunction, enzymatic insufficiencies that, you know, if a person were to go on a raw diet, as he describes, they would end up very ill because they have no way to interact with the microbial world appropriately. And we have become, over the last few centuries, a species afraid of the germ, so to speak, the microbe. Louis Pasteur pasteurization. You know, we cover and talk about that extensively. And we've got a ways to go back to where we have the strength, or what I call the sthenic condition, you know, as we talk as a homeopath here, to be able to withstand and interact with the microbial world without, you know, it's like the Superman concept of being able to walk through walls of microbes and basically be untouched by it because we are so strong and healthy. Very few people now in the West have that level of strength. You know, funny, I was mentioning the raw milk freedom ride. I was there. Max Kane, who you know, we talked about, is a big proponent. They're wanting to do another one from Wisconsin to Chicago. And he literally had, you know, basically a bunch of ground, I don't know if it was beef, buffalo, or sheep, and he was eating it raw. I witnessed this. Had no problem. He was not contaminated. He didn't fall dead of an infection, a sepsis, or whatever. But he had worked his way back into that level of strength and vitality to be able to eat raw as we did once in the wild. But to do so as a typical American now could be very dangerous and deadly.
All right.
Work our way back into that.
Yeah, I am not doing the raw meat thing, folks. I'm going to cook it, even if I have to set the turkey on fire. But I'm going to have a free-range turkey, some free-range turkey meat this holiday season. But good points on both sides. Thanks for your call, Richard. Much appreciated. Let's go to Ralph in Texas. Ralph, you're on the air with Mike Adams and Robert Scott Bell. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Yeah, how can we help you? What's on your mind?
Hi. I just read a report with some statistics saying that 1 in 5 Americans are on antipsychotic drugs.
Yeah, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 5 overall.
And I find this concerning. But I wanted to get your take on the role the pharmaceutical industry is playing in this New World Order plan. And, yeah.
Well, I think if you suffer from concern, that is a psychiatric condition requiring pharmaceutical treatment. Isn't that right, Robert? This caller needs some treatment. We should send him to a pharmacy.
Put some through the phone lines for him immediately because we can't have him raising such questions. I mean, in fact, the answer to the question is it's essential. Without the pharmaceutical industrial complex, the New World Order is not possible because their ability to dampen the consciousness, weaken the will, is essential for the takeover, for the people to be sheeple, as many of the Americans have become and people around the world. In Europe, we've seen it recently as well with the attack on supplements and other things now that water can't hydrate you in Europe. As a species, if this is the case.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to even cover the water story. What about the woman who had her buttocks injected with Fix-A-Flat tire inflator? That's a good one, too. But more to your point, caller, look, don't forget that the psychiatric industry has defined another disease as oppositional defiance disorder, ODD. So if you disagree with the globalist agenda, you now have a disease. What do you think about that? I think you might be diagnosed with that. What's your take, Ralph?
Well, I think there's a concerted effort to really ruin the psyche of all Americans, and to whose benefit? You know, I think there's a lack of awareness, but you guys are doing a great job. Maybe you guys could recommend some books on holistic health.
Sure, yeah. Well, I like Elson Haas as an author. He's got some great books out there, HAAS. You could also study the DSM-4, the Psychiatric Bible. That would give you more. I say that in jest. Robert, what do you recommend as a good overall book?
That's a horrific read. I think from a wake-up call perspective, I always come back to our good friend Dr. Carolyn Dean and her books, particularly the one Death by Modern Medicine, because when you realize the Holocaust that is in place due to FDA-sanctioned, government-sanctioned, licensed, and monopolized drugs, that's a big step to say, all right, instead of reaching for the medicine cabinet, instead of going to the doctor, including the pediatricians, the children's doctors, it's a horrific thing. If you think about it, these doctors, all they do are drug and inject children. I mean, it should be, I'm not into banning professions, but the way they behave, I would almost say we could get rid of pediatricians and we'd have much healthier children at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's totally true. Yeah, the last thing you want to do is take your child to a conventional pediatrician, because if they diagnose your child with cancer, which a lot of times is a false positive, and if you don't subject your child to that chemotherapy, they will have you arrested and your child taken away by CPS. We've reported on it multiple times.
That's right.
Okay, thank you, caller, for your call. Very, very good points. Robert, let's get the third item on your list. Otherwise, we're never going to finish our list here today. What do you got, number three?
Well, I mentioned the raw milk freedom riders. I just want to say, you know, the farmers and the fellow healers out there that are standing basically up for their right to bring the healing that's necessary, even though it's not approved by government. Those that are, you know, basically saying, here I am, come and get me. I'm not, encouraging people to go get arrested, but at the same point in time, they can't arrest everybody. So I'm still waiting to where I could say I'm grateful for the dietary supplement industry, because until they stand up, all of them in mass together, and say, here we are, we're doing what is right, we are not harming anybody, you have no authority to come and make us do the things you're trying to make us do to destroy our industry and the good products that we're providing. So, having said that, it's the farmers out there that are going to be teaching all of us that have not been in that farm community to grow our own food again. I mean, that's the gratitude coming out. That's the Thanksgiving I have, and I have the message for them to please be vocal, outspoken, stand up, and begin to offer your skills to others, because we desperately need that out there.
Well said, Robert. You must be reading my mind yet again. I have a related item. The third item on my list to be thankful for this Thanksgiving Day is none other than dirt. Yes, dirt and soil, without which we would have no civilization on our planet. Soils are eroding and disappearing at a record pace. The food supply is going to be threatened. And I am currently on a ranch near Austin that has dirt. In fact, before coming on the show today, I was on a John Deere tractor. And sometimes after the show, people say, hey, Mike, how do you make your skin look so good on camera? Do you have a makeup artist? No, it's a thin layer of grime and clay from the dirt on the ranch. Makeup by John Deere. That's what I got going on here. But truly, without dirt, we wouldn't have anything in our... And where does dirt come from? Where does dirt come from? Ultimately, we got to thank the creator. We got to thank Mother Nature. We got to thank God. We got to thank the higher powers as well. But I know our list is focused on more of the mundane things. Robert, you okay if we take another call?
Yeah, absolutely. Having a good time with you, as always.
All right. Janice from Texas, thank you for holding, and you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Robert. Things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for guys like you who teach self-empowerment and not dependence of Big Pharma. I mean, because that's all they do is teach dependence. But I'm calling about another issue, and I tried to call you another time about it. It ties into the farm tractor regulations.
Yeah.
I just wanted to concur with Alex and Jesse Ventura when they keep saying this is like the East German Stasi model. And I will say, I have seen that up close and personal, and I'll make this quick. In 1982, I took a 21 years old by myself, took a night train from London to Berlin, to West Berlin to do a show. I had missed the flight, whatever. So I had to go by train. And as soon as we crossed over into East Berlin to get to West Berlin, I was in the carriage by myself, and two armed Stasi officers come in and demand my ticket. And I said, who are you? Where's the train conductor? And they got mad and started yelling, and I handed them my ticket, and they wanted my passport. And I said, I've already been cleared through German customs or whatever. They grabbed my passport. They saw it was an American passport and went crazy.
Wow.
Just crazy, yelling at me. And they went and got four other guards. So I was surrounded by six guards at that time who questioned me, where are you going? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm in a band. All I do is play music. I'm really nobody. Don't even, whatever.
Maybe you have illegal wood in your guitar.
This is 1982.
Like, yeah, right.
Would I ever think that I would see that in my country? No. But anyway, I said, look, I'm just, the Beatles play Hamburg. That's, the Germans love rock and roll, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that was the wrong thing to say, because the one who spoke English drew on me and said, stand up. I could feel the gunmetal on
Drew,
my
you drew, drew his firearm on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my head, point blank range. I mean, I could feel the barrel of the rifle. And he marched me down to the livestock carriage, which had people.
Let me ask you, Janice, though. A very frightening story, but has anything like this happened to you in the United States recently then?
Well, my point about that is that I would like to just shout out to all the, I want to see armed guards on all public transport to keep us safe. Well, when they've got a rifle at their head, how safe are they going to feel? Does it have to get to that level that, when they see the tyranny, when they feel the rifle, then they go,
all right.
I get it. Yeah. Maybe this isn't a good idea.
Thank you, Janice, for your call. But look, we do not espouse violence here as a way to resolve these issues. I know I sense your anger, Janice, in your description there, the fear, the terror that they tried to instill in you at that moment. And we just got to be real careful. We do not shooting back is not the way for us to solve this. It's not the revolution that we want. We want a peaceful revolution. We want the Ron Paul revolution. Mm-hmm. What do you say, Robert, to that?
Well, you know, Janice's story is very profound, and I hear this from those that have immigrated to the United States from Eastern Europe. We have a lot of listeners that have, and they, when I talk to them about what's happened here in America, and they're just so saddened. Sometimes they're angry, but more often they're sad. They just don't understand. It's like, what happened, you Americans? You were the land of liberty. You loved liberty, and now you're going the way of where we came from, why we wanted to come to America. And so I am grateful for those immigrants, because oftentimes we have basically been so indoctrinated over generations now that we can't see what has happened in the context of the boiling of the frog slowly enough that we don't jump out. So to have those warning signs, those harbors, people with experience like Janice to actually say, hey, that does not make you safe. Of course, you know, these are the things where we talked earlier about the suffering. Does America need to suffer a total economic collapse in order for us to embrace liberty again? Instead of totalitarianism and dictatorship and tyranny. Sometimes it takes that brutality. People with cancer or AIDS or very serious issues, before they come to someone like me as a homeopath, they'll often have gone through so much before they're willing to change their diet or lifestyle. Some of them will choose to die rather than change, and that's part of the equation. Well, we find out who's ready.
But that's what's interesting. It's also true about nations. Just as people have to suffer through a health crisis before they awaken to the reality that they got to take care of their bodies and they got to follow rules, you know, and protect the rights, the safety of their own internal organs. Nations do the same thing, don't they? Where nations, sometimes they become complacent and apathetic, and then they lose their freedoms, and then the tyranny comes in, and then they awaken and realize, oh my goodness, maybe we should not have let go of that Fourth Amendment right, or that First or Second Amendment right. It seems like America is in that patient crisis, to use the medical metaphor, right now.
Yeah, and that was the brilliance of Ron Paul in a debate yesterday, where he said, don't be so callously, you know, unwilling to give up like Newt Gingrich is, to say, well, you want a camera and a cop in every house so we can prevent wife beating or whatever. Oh, yeah, we don't want another Timothy McVeigh. Who does? But at the same point, do you sacrifice everything that we fought the revolution for in America to say that we can be safe? I mean, this is where Gingrich is amazing to me. I mean, everybody says he's so intelligent. I mean, how intelligent do you have to be to forget history so efficiently as he has forgotten history?
Well, you can have a high IQ and be completely unwise. I've seen that in academic circles. These people are experts in one area, but they're total morons when it comes to reality and streetwise, just knowing how to survive in the world and knowing basic fundamental laws and basic rights. That's where it seems like Newt Gingrich just falls flat on his face, which is very, very disturbing to see that he could be so intelligent and yet he has no wisdom. All right, well, Robert Scott is still with us there, sorry. We will be right back after this break. We're going to take another call. We're going to continue with our list of things to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving. So stay with us. A lot more ahead here on The Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back. Yeah, we are back here on the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us here on the InfoWars front lines. I'm Mike Adams, joined by Robert Scott Bell right now to finish out this show for you today. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And we've been talking about things that we are thankful for on this Thanksgiving. I wanted to mention the next item on my list. I'm thankful for the spirit of 1776. Yeah, that spirit that is part of the American fabric, the culture of questioning government, of asking these questions and then taking action as necessary to put government in its place to protect our freedoms rather than dominating over us as tyrants. I think the spirit of 1776 is very strong in this country, and that we will prevail peacefully.
Yes.
That's the key question. Any comments on that, Robert, before we go to our caller?
It's in our DNA, absolutely, as Americans, and I found that to be, no slight to anybody else around the world. You know, I don't come from ego when I say that, but there is something unique and special about the American Republic and its foundation and origin, and it's still alive. But then many people are afraid of it, even within America, because they have been, you know, wussified. We've talked about the wussification of America. All that grateful for the wussies, but we're there to help them when they get, you know, the courage back. Maybe they'll get some courage from you and others that are standing up as we bring out that, you know, second American revolution here that we're in the midst of, a peaceful one, as we say.
Well, as Dr. Lonkey said, we are here to wake up their parasympathetic nervous systems. And for the TSA officers, we're here to wake up your unsympathetic nervous systems, too. All right, let's go to caller John in Ohio. You're on the air with Mike Adams and Robert Scott Bell. How are you doing today?
Well, pretty good. I didn't call primarily to mention this, but I want to start out with it now after the last call. I happened to take a bus trip with Middle Americans through Western Europe. It included Western Berlin. And you have a one-day pass to go into East Berlin. I went there. I had absolutely no trouble. The people were well-dressed. I spent the entire day there eating sausages and seeing a fashion show downtown. I was even an hour late in getting out. They gave me no problem. They just made a call, and I went off across to the West Berlin side. So I think people ought to check out some of the lies we're told about history. I'd recommend just looking up on a search on a computer, lies concerning the Soviet Union.
Okay.
Because and also, I did want to mention that I have a feeling that if we don't question these big lie premises and just say, even though it's a lie that the American government is saintly and benevolently trying to protect us from terrorists when we know it's inside jobs, if we say, yes, we know these countries that the United States is devastating and attacking and slaughtering are really bad countries that are doing all the things that the CIA media tells us they're doing, we lose the argument. And I have that difference with Ron Paul. That's why I respect Paul Craig Roberts. He doesn't censor himself on that. And Webster Tarpley does not. He's been in these countries, and he tells us all the things we're being told about Iran and Syria right now are a pack of lies.
You're absolutely right, and I greatly admire Paul Craig Roberts as well. But, you know, just about Ron Paul, he knows much more than what he talks about. But think about it. You can't go up on stage in front of the American people and tell them the whole truth when you're running for president. They're not ready for that yet. Maybe you can on InfoWars, you can tell people the whole truth, but not on stage in a presidential election. I appreciate your call, though. Some really good comments. I want to take time for the next caller, Dave in California. Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm glad to be the final caller.
Yeah, real quick, Dave, 20 seconds.
Absolutely. You know, as far as eating raw meat is concerned, I would go to your local Korean barbecue and order some UK. It's like the British
Isle. Okay. Sorry, man. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody. Join us on InfoWars Nightly News tonight. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure and an honor hosting. Take care.